The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Not a bad day on the markets, but this time of year, trading gets really light. And I think the most interesting story that we had was how Bitcoin fell below $15,000. Again, yesterday it was up, today it's down. Cryptocurrency. And we'll have to ask Mr. Morrow about that. Our guest for the remainder of the hour is Eddie Morrow, one of seven Democrats vying for the opportunity to run against Congressman David Young here in the 3rd Congressional District. Polk County would be in that congressional district. And welcome back to the Business News Hour, sir. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Michael.
So talk to us a little bit about health care. You know, again, and we don't necessarily always report on political issues, but we do watch those, and they do have an impact on our communities. And one of the big impacts has been the effort by this Congress to repeal and replace Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act. And the move that was just heralded with the new budget going into 2018 indicates that over the next couple of years, another 9 million people will lose health care coverage. I got to ask you, is this any way to run a country?
Well, you brought up a couple of interesting points. We're talking about, you know, it's a business hour, so healthcare is very important to our business community. I'm a small business owner. I employ nearly 40 folks, and we provide health insurance for them, and that's a pressure on my business like it would be on anybody else that's employing folks out there. I mentioned earlier one of the reasons I'm running is because we lack leadership. Another reason I'm running is because David Young's turned his back on hardworking Iowans by trying to deny them access to healthcare. He voted on us several times in the past year to try to repeal. They didn't really have a replace. It was just mostly just repeal. If they had some kind of a good plan that would replace Obamacare, then it would have been worth having a conversation about. But there was no plan. It was pretty much just repeal and let's go back to where we were before, which was not sustainable and very reckless for small business owners, for any kind of hardworking American that needs health coverage. So I think what they did was create a lot of anxiety. I think with the president and what they keep reporting that they did in this tax plan by eliminating the mandate, actually I think it's going to come back to haunt them because at the end of the day, the subsidies are going to take over then, which is really what Democrats wanted to have happen, right? The mandate was somewhat of a Republican idea to push people into the private insurance marketplace. Which was a Republican idea. There's a big misnomer out there. This was just a completely Democrat idea anyway.
It was borrowed from a presidential candidate, Mitt Romney.
Well, Mitt Romney, there's pieces from the Heritage Foundation on there. You go talk to Mike Leavitt, governor of Utah, a good Republican governor of Utah, and they all say there's good elements in that bill and good elements in that law. There's some good moderate Republicans that think as well. Obviously, got sold differently because they didn't vote on it, and that's much different than what happened with this tax bill. There are no good Democrat elements in that tax, in this tax bill that is passed.
As a matter of fact, many of the higher tax states, such as New York and New Jersey and California, those citizens in those states stand to lose substantially because of the deduction and deductibility of taxes there. What would Eddie Morrow like to see Congress do when it comes to health care?
The main objective needs to make sure that there's care for everybody. In the greatest country in the world, everybody should have access to health care. It needs to be affordable and available for everybody. And that should be the end game. How do we get there? Again, in the greatest country in the world, we're too smart not to figure that out. Can that be a combination of a private and public initiative? I think there's an opportunity for that if the private sector wants to get involved in that, if they really want to become a participant and play the game in a way that they can still be involved in that. If not, I can see us moving further and further down the line to a fully public option similar to what you see in the UK and what you see in Canada. You know, I tell a lot of people I'm out talking to, I do a lot of business in London with Lloyd's of London. I'm an insurance guy, and there's a lot of conservatives in that industry.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the conservatives over there, who would be very staunch Republicans here, laugh at the idea that we don't have universal health care. They just don't understand.
Believe me, Eddie, many countries do.
They do. They just don't understand that. But I think we don't have to be like everybody else. I'm okay if we want to carve out our own path, if we can do that. Again, at the end of the day, everybody needs to have it, because everybody comes across these issues, whether it's breast cancer or diabetes or Alzheimer's or mental health conditions or addiction issues. Either we incur them, guys in this room, or family members that we know. And when that hurdle comes in front of us, we all need to know that we have the care that we should have, again, in a country like this.
One of the things that's been bantered about is a Medicare system, and you talked about public-private, wherein, let's say, Medicare covers this, whatever this is, and whatever we can agree on what this is as far as health care. And then if you want extra, if you want other things, you get like what we already have with a Medicare supplement insurance policy, which would then bring the private insurers back into the game somewhat. That sounds to me like a reasonable plan.
Well, it's a very reasonable plan.
So why are we talking about that?
Well, again, we're lacking leadership. We still have special interests that are really out there hot and heavy. You know, there's a significant insurance industry that's you know, pushing and pulling in a lot of ways that want to keep that from happening. You know, my one thought that I have is, if you're going to have a public and private option, is that in the private sector, you're insuring folks that are insurable. So what we're trying to do is insure people that aren't insurable in the private sector. And again, I'm in the property casualty business. So when the fires are raging out in California, it's too late for me to cover that house if it didn't have insurance. And if you equate that to, you know, folks like us, when we're already on fire with diabetes or some other kind of heart disease or some other kind of condition, it's tough to insure that, because you know the losses are already mounting before you even start paying premium. So in the private sector, you might have a group of people that don't have those, that aren't on fire already, and we allow them to be insured. Those that do have some kind of a situation are all covered in the public option. They can buy supplementals on top of that as well. But whether we do what you talked about, which is a Medicare for all with supplementals, or we have some kind of a combination, again, we're too smart not to be able to figure that out. And I'm only interested in the end game, to make sure everybody has coverage and care.
That's the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of Eddie Morrow. He is one of seven candidates vying for the opportunity to beat Congressman David Young in the November election. As you go from place to place out here in the third district, 16 counties, and it's probably one of the most manageable districts of all of the four districts here in Iowa, because it's only 16 counties. I mean, if you're up in the fighting fourth, for crying out loud, you've got half the state to cover. What are you hearing from Main Street when it comes to the economy? How are they doing?
Well, it's mixed. There are some people that are doing very well. You know, if you're in a rural community and run the insurance agency, you're doing okay. If you're in rural Iowa and working at the rural hospital, you're not doing so hot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a teacher out in rural Iowa, you're very concerned, because not only at the federal level, but even at the state level, we've seen people want to turn our back on teachers in our schools and our kids, which is really our future. So we're doing a lot to, turn a blind eye to the future of our communities. You're hearing from some farmers that they're doing okay, but they're anxious.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing from Main Street, small and town squares of folks that some days that things look promising and some days not. They're looking for some stability. They're looking for some leadership. They're looking to see if somebody will walk with them in good times and in bad, and really be there out there for their best interest, and I'm sorry I don't see that in our current leader, David Young.
When we talk about Eddie Morrow's plans, should you be fortunate enough to run against Mr. Young, and one of the issues with seven candidates out there, it's highly likely that this may go to convention, do you think?
Well, it's a good possibility, and everybody's got to strategize for that. Even just like the gubernatorial, between us, there's like 500 candidates, I think, between going on.
It's a lot of folks.
It seems like that. But there's a chance for that. I think that you know, you mentioned my family background. We've been involved in a lot of elections. We have a pretty good experience with the ground game. We think that we'll be able to set ourselves apart because of that and try to avoid the convention.
And what does set Eddie Morrow apart when we're talking about going forward with this? What are you offering voters in the 3rd District that you believe is unique or different or at least sets you apart, sir?
That's a great question because there's some good candidates here. There really are some good people here that are running. They got good backgrounds. They got good stories. All of them would be good congresspeople. But the difference is, my background. So we talked about my teaching, my coaching, my business background, which sets me apart from any of them to begin with. We didn't talk about my community advocacy work and my service work. Mentioned briefly what I do in Africa. I'm a founding member of a community organization here known as AMOS, which has done great work in Central Iowa for over 20 years. And I've been called to lead repeatedly over that time period. You know, so I've been at City Hall advocating for ordinances. I've been at the State House.
Explain what AMOS is.
AMOS, a Metropolitan Organizing Strategy. It's made up of several congregations in Central Iowa. It's now extended into Ames and to Norwalk, starting to make headway into Indianola. It's basically what democracy should be. It's people bringing voices together, having common issues that are important to them, and going up and doing something about that. And it's really powerful what AMOS done, and there's community organizations like AMOS all around the country that are doing great work. So we've done that here. We went and helped, convince City Hall that infrastructure was being neglected in certain neighborhoods. This is back in 1996 and 7, and they, after us really pushing hard on that, they agreed, and all of a sudden equipment shows up and streets are being torn up and,
amazing what happens when people get involved.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, people need to get involved.
Yeah.
So we do the same at the State House. We go up, and I'd be in charge of leading in committee meetings, and we'd be talking about all kinds of issues, whether it was immigration or education or mental health, governor's offices, congressional offices. I've been asked to lead forums where Barack Obama and Joe Biden were our guests, and gubernatorial candidates, among others. I've been asked to lead rallies at the State House. I've been part of strategizing on both legislation and public policy that's been very important and impactful. It's really improved the lives of a lot of people, and nobody in our delegation has done that. And then I think what I've learned as a coach, what I've learned about competing, sets me apart. So, we got to talk about helping America win again, and that's all Americans. And right now, we're not winning. The people at the top, when you're reading off how great the stocks did today and then the bells ringing and people are clapping and cheering, those folks are doing okay. Their batting average looks good. They've scored a lot of touchdowns or whatever analogy we want to use from the sports world. But there are a lot of people at the end of the bench that are struggling, that aren't doing very well. And there's a lot of finger pointing going on. Nobody wants to take responsibility for what's happening. And I want to take responsibility. I want to help all of Americans win again.
You mentioned something there talking about immigration, and that's such a hot topic these days. Many of our rural communities would be truly blighted if it weren't for individuals who were coming from other countries. And we've seen that in places like Storm Lake. We've seen that in Marshalltown. We've seen it in Denison, and it goes on and on and on. The immigration issue that's before us, where's Eddie Morrow on that?
It's a difficult issue because it's been used.
It's become a wedge issue.
It's been used as a wedge. So, the President Trump has used that very well. He's talked a lot about not wanting or Democrats don't believe in strong borders, and that's far from the truth. Democrats are as interested in security of our country as anybody else. But we also want to make sure that is reasonable for folks to have the flow that's necessary for them to come in so they don't have to come in illegally. We wouldn't have illegal immigration if it didn't take 7 years for some hardworking person and their family in Latin America to want to come have a better life for their kid. And a lot of people don't understand it takes that long. They think you just get in line and, 20 minutes later, you have some kind of a card and you're on your merry way. And it doesn't work that way. And if you have a, you know, if I have a wife and two young kids and I'm making less than a dollar a day in somewhere in Central America, and I know that if I go to the United States, I can provide a better life for my kids, I'm going to go get in line. And they might say, come back in 6 months. And then they're going to say, come back again another 6 months. And now my kids, who were 4 and 5 at the time, are now 11 and 12 before I can get them. Well, I'm not going to wait. No reasonable person would wait. So they come across illegally. Now, that's an issue we need to talk about. I'm sorry,
we're out of time.
No way.
Can you believe that?
We got to come back. This is an important issue. We got to come back and talk about that.
All right. Eddie Morrow, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest for the hour. Thanks for doing this, Eddie. We appreciate it.
No, thanks, Michael, for having me.
All right. Tyler Hackenmiller is our general person that is behind the controls. Tonight it's John Turner. Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. Patrick Wood is the brand manager for the radio station. James Goodlett wrote the music that you're listening to right now exclusively for the Business News Hour. Jimmy Olson is the voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour, and Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, for Eddie Morrow, who is running hard in the 3rd District, we will be having all the candidates in, as a matter of fact. My name is Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.